Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, my message this morning is in John's Gospel, the first chapter, if you want to turn there. This series of messages is under the heading of Learn of Me, which comes from the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We want to know and learn more fully from the Lord. We're just going to make our way through John's Gospel here and get a reflection of the things that were important. I want to emphasize this. I want you to have this in your heart, that John's Gospel is the gospel of belief. He will tell us all along the way things for us to reach out and take hold of so that we will believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Amen? I don't know. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that belief is... That it's possible that if you believe, all things are possible? I know. Get on with it, dude. In John chapter 1, we actually took the first 14 verses last Sunday, but I want to back up to verse number 6 because we did not give emphasis there deliberately, because really verse number 6 flows with the remainder of this chapter. He says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Who's the light? I couldn't hear that at all. Who's the light?
Jesus.
Oh. Who?
Jesus.
Thank you. Praise the Lord for the light. This is kind of an interesting passage. And it's not one of those passages that you immediately jump at and get really excited about because it's all about you. But rather, this passage and the passages I'm getting ready to read are about John the Baptist. You heard about John the Baptist? He baptized people, right? By the way, the Baptist was not his last name. I've actually seen folks and heard folks that actually thought that his last name was the Baptist. No, that was a handle that was given him because he baptized people. His name was John, and that was sufficient. There came a man sent from God. This is where the emphasis is at here. Right here in this opening of John's Gospel, he wants us to realize that there was a man. In addition to Christ, there was a man sent from God with very specific purposes. Here's what we know about John, and this is from the other Gospels. He was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. His parents were both of the lineage of Aaron, who was the first high priest. So Zechariah served in the temple of the Lord as a priest. His parents, according to Luke 1:6, were both of them upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. That's a pretty good... They were righteous. They were blameless. Elizabeth was barren, and they were getting up there in years. One day, Zacharias is ministering in the temple, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're going to have a son." And like most of us, at the first introduction, when God says something to us, he wouldn't believe it. So Zechariah had the privilege during the whole pregnancy of Elizabeth to not be able to speak. I could go there, but I'm not going to. There was a prophetic word that was given to Zechariah concerning John, his son. He said, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth, and many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." After John's birth, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied in Luke chapter 1, verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to visit us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And in Luke chapter 1, verse 80, it says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel." So what we have here is that, you know, here's Zechariah and Elizabeth, barren, not able to have any children, old in age, and the Lord comes to them and says, "I'm going to bless you with a child. And you're going to call his name John. And he is going to be powerful in leading the nation of Israel. He's going to call them back to a commitment with God. But he's also going to become and is a forerunner to the coming of the Messiah. Now, I don't know about you parents, but that would kind of be an awe moment. If the Lord spoke into my heart and told me that about one of my sons, that he was going to move an entire nation, and he was going to be the voice crying in the wilderness that would proclaim the coming of the Lord, I would be moved. It seems to me that Zechariah and Elizabeth were. They did their best raising him. At some point, because we're left kind of holding just this amount of information, at some point, he scooted away from his parents. You see, because he was born in the lineage of Aaron, he would have served in the temple in a position that his father had served in. So he would have been the one who changed the showbread. He would have been the one who lit the candles. He would have been the one who laid the incense in there on the altar. These were the jobs that the priests did. That would have been John's job. But somewhere along the line, because of this move of God, he was moved apart from what his father did. And it says he went and lived in the wilderness. Well, the other gospel says that he ate locusts and wild honey. Anybody have that on the menu for today? He said, "Hon, we're going to have locusts and honey for lunch." This was the food of the wilderness. He wore the garb, if you will, the clothing of a prophet. You know, this says to me, and because we have such little knowledge, but it says to me that he was, even from an early age, was on mission, on task. In other words, he had, somewhere along the line, his father had set him down and told him what the angel of the Lord had said to him. Somewhere along the line, his mom and dad set him down and said, let me tell you the prophecy that came forth when you were a baby. Because see, when he was held in his arm, held in their arms and was prophesied over, he wouldn't have been there for that. Okay, so then they had to share this with him, that this was his purpose, this was his mission. Because this was the desire of the Lord for his life. And so when he said, I need to leave dad's profession. I'm not going to serve in the temple like everybody else. I need to go out into the wilderness. Somehow or another, they were understanding of that and allowed him to move on into what God was calling him to do. My point here is sometimes it's not easy serving God. Being obedient to the Lord sometimes doesn't make sense to other people. They wanted Zechariah to name his son after him. There was a surge among family members. He should be called Zechariah because he's your son, your only son. But he said, no. His name will be John, because that's what the Lord said should be. You see, sometimes as parents, it behooves us to listen to the Lord of what he wants for our kids' lives. And then not only to pray over them, but also to encourage them along the way to become what God wants them to be. Nobody else can understand it. I'm so thankful for parents that understood the calling that was upon my life from this high and supported that calling. Because see, I had friends who felt a call of God upon their life, but their parents were saying, well, you need to go on to school and learn another trade in case you need to fall back on it. Thankful for mom and dad that there was never any other alternative except for the call that God had placed upon my life. You know, there came a man sent from God on mission, on task. From birth, it says, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. God had his hand on him. Jesus, later on, when John was put into prison and he's sitting and talking with his disciples because John had sent a message, are you the one? He was concerned that Jesus truly was the one that was sent from God. He wanted to be sure of that because now he could see his days were numbered. And Jesus said, go tell him. The blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, the dead are raised, and the gospel is being preached to the poor. It never gives us what John's reaction was there, but it must have been sufficient. He didn't send anybody else along the way. Because John recognized his purpose. But Jesus, in that setting, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, there's never been a prophet like John. There's never been someone who was sent from God, who served God in the way that John served him. But then he makes an interesting statement that involves all of us. Because he said, the least in my kingdom is greater than he. You see, this is where all of a sudden it starts connecting to us. Because here's John, a man sent from God, filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, sense of direction upon his life, lived in the wilderness to separate himself out from the people of the land and just gathering in the presence of God into his life. And then he comes forth and he begins to speak and call the people to repentance according to the word given to him and to his parents. He's doing what God said, pouring it forth. Jesus came to him on one day and wanted to be baptized by him. And he said, oh, I should be baptized by you. Jesus said, do this, because it's the right thing. This is in the order of things. And John baptized him, and the Holy Spirit came and settled down upon Jesus and remained. I know that as step by step these things were happening, that John, in his mind and in his heart, is realizing that his purpose for being is being fulfilled. Here's the question. If you and I and those who have come to the kingdom, the least among us, are greater than John the Baptist, doesn't it make you wonder a little bit what God is longing to see happen in our lives? You know, sometimes we're so casual about this relationship that we have with the Lord. We put it on us like we put on clothes. And shamefully, sometimes we take it off when it's not convenient for us, or when those that we're around maybe are not serving the Lord or don't know anything about the Lord or are hostile toward the Lord. We slip out of our Christian cloth so that we look more like the rest of the world. I believe this to be very true, that John the Baptist was not ashamed to be called a man of God. He was not ashamed of what God called him to do and what God was trying and desiring to do through him. He was content to be a man of God on mission. And I can't help but throw the question out, are we as content? Or are we so busy working our own plans and our own desires and our own goals for our lives that we've never stopped even long enough to wonder what God's called us to do? It says in John 1:7, he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. All men. That's us. Two words that describe John's ministry that are found repeatedly in this passage of Scripture. The first is testify. And the second is witness. They're incredibly similar and yet different words. The first, testify, to be a witness, yes, but it is certify, to certify, a testimony that someone witnesses or states concerning a person or a thing. In other words, there is a certifying, this is what it says it is. This is, they are who they say they are. John's mission in life was to come to the people and tell them Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. The second is the word witness. I'll not bore you with the Greek terms, but to bear witness concerning a person or a thing. So here's how you separate the two. A witness is one who stands in reference to another. A testimony is certification and a statement of witness concerning a person or a thing. So in one, it's just to testify, to tell, I believe this person. And the other is to go about and be an example of that person. Follow me? So it is testifying, certifying who the person is, and the other is to adopt who they are and to walk as they walk. So John came purposed to do both of these things. Now listen to it as it lists in the scripture. John testifies concerning him. There's the first one. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony. There's another one. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." In other words, he wanted to be certain that they realized, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I am here to tell you who he is." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He replied, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" "No." Finally, they said, "And who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" Now listen to this. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Can you hear it? You see, here comes the testimony. "I have come not to talk about myself, not to put the emphasis on myself, but to put the emphasis on the one that God is sending." It doesn't tell us how many times that John preached that. It doesn't tell us how many times that he encouraged the people to repent and he baptized them in water as they stepped forward to repent of their sins in preparation of the coming of the Lord. But what it does tell us, on one given day, he's standing there and he looks up and the Holy Spirit identifies, there's Jesus. And John said, "You know the guy I've been talking about? You know the one I've come in his name, the one that I stand as a witness and a testimony of who he is? This is he. Here's the man." Oh my goodness. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that I meant when I said," hear it? "This is the one that I meant when I said." So he said, I've been telling you about this, Jesus. "A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Now that sounds like a tongue tire. He's saying, this one who has come, this one who is following the path that I have blazed, has been here from the beginning. Now here's a neat statement. "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" He said, "Now, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? What's in this for me?" John is us. I don't know if you've caught that yet, but John is us. He is a type of every single one of us. We have the privilege of gaining a revelation by the Spirit of God that Jesus is the Christ, the one sent from God. How many have gotten that revelation? You see, when we get that revelation, then it should change us as it changed John. There should be an awakening inside of us that says, hold on just a minute. God has thought enough of me that he would call me out from among men. How many of you realize this morning that not everybody knows about Jesus? You and I are privileged people. That God so loves us that he would send his Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Jesus came and lived in this world and died on a cross for you and I. And the fact that we would come to this knowledge and that we would understand with our limited intellect, we would understand that God came down and died for my sins. It's a miracle. And in that, every single one of us are called to be witnesses of Jesus. Every single one of us have been called and commissioned of God to a particular field, to a particular group of people. See, John, he was called to the nation of Israel. He wasn't called to all the nations of the world. He was called to the people belonging to God. He was going to be their last prophet, crying out in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord. Or he could say it in this way, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Repent. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Whoa, look, there he is. Wouldn't that have been something? Can you imagine a whole lifetime wrapped up? First of all, you know, gaining the understanding from the parents that the angel of the Lord had placed a calling upon your life. Ooh. That in itself would have been powerful. And then to begin to walk in that calling and have the Spirit of God train you out there in the wilderness and prepare you to do the work that he's called you to do. Wow, that would have been spectacular. To have him speak into your life and say, the one on whom the Spirit comes like a dove and settles down upon him and remains, that's the one. Woo, that would have been something. But it would have been nothing compared to when Jesus showed up. Because he was ready. Oh, I'm full of bewilderment and wonder to know what that was like for John. Come on, think about it for a minute. You know, all of a sudden walks up. Now, here's one cool thing. That was his cousin. Jesus, in his earthly body, was John the Baptist's cousin. Now, we have no idea whether they played together as kids or any of that kind of business. I've heard all kinds of speculation. There are books written by people that... No, never mind. Know too much. They think they do. Nevertheless, we really have no solid evidence from the Word of God or from history as to any contact that they had with one another. But we are certain of this. Up until that point in time, he didn't see him as the Christ. So whether they knew each other, whether they had played with each other when they were kids, or any of those things, we have no knowledge of. But what we know is that John did not know him before that day as the Christ. But on that day, something happened inside of John that identified that Jesus was the one sent from God to be the Savior of the world. All of a sudden, boom. I mean, everything that he had lived for and worked for was before him. He said, well, what does that have to do with us? One of these days, Jesus is going to break the eastern sky. How do I know that? Because God in his word said, this same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven will so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. He's told us. His Holy Spirit has come upon us and he has made us witnesses to the reality of Jesus. And all of that is good. But one of these days, our eyes will see. One of these days, all those who truly believe in the Lord Jesus and are walking after Him will look up and behold the one in whom we have believed. See, belief, it's without sight. Blessed are those, Jesus said, who believe without seeing. That's what He told doubting Thomas. But oh my goodness, one of these days, faith will become sight. Why? It will be rapturous. You understand? You see, for those who are living after the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have let go of their life to do the work that He has called them to do. You say, oh, Pastor, you mean I'm supposed to quit my job? No, God has you right where He wants you. It's not about where you are. It's about what's going on inside of you. It's about whose you are. Do you belong to you or do you belong to the Lord? Is the testimony of your lips about the stuff of this world that is going to pass away? You know, many of us are we're testimonials to earthy things that have no meaning or matter. We can tell you the ins and outs of different things. I'm not going into them lest I hurt someone. I don't want to hurt somebody. But we have, you know, we have things we're specialists on, and we know everything there is to know about this and that. I mean, we call ourselves Christians, and we're afraid somebody will ask us a question because we don't know. That's why He said, learn of Me. And you'll find rest for your souls. Because why? You will be just like John the Baptist. You will be full of purpose in your life. You get up in the morning. It's not about what factory you go to or what place of business you go to. It's about the mission that God has you on. And in anticipation that one of these days, Jesus is going to step forward and you're going to recognize Him and you're going to be the one that gets to say, that's Jesus, that's the one. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you'll go to be with Him. See, the incredible part of this is that today is our day of testimony. You know, that's not unlike John, because once John saw Jesus, his proclamation was, I must decrease and He must increase. He had a recognition. See, He wasn't the hope for mankind. Neither are we. I said, neither are we. Don't try to be the peace for somebody else. It's above your pay grade. Don't try to be the hope that somebody needs. Well, I don't mean that we don't try and do our best to love people and to help them and encourage them along the way. You know, that's just part of the responsibility. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We should love and extend His love. But what we should be is a witness of the light. You and I should stand. We should be as Jesus and as His hands reaching out to people. But we are not the light. We are not the hope. We are not the peace. We are not the joy that people know. Don't let it come back to you as being someone's, the answer to someone's need or circumstance. What you need is Jesus. Come unto Him and He'll give you rest. Learn of Him. Because His yoke is easy and His burden light. I guarantee you, if you and I start trying to do that, you know, learn of Me, we're going to put a burden on them that they can't bear. It'll sound like this. Now, what you need to do is you need to stop doing that. Now you need to stop doing that, and you need to stop doing that. And by the way, you need to stop doing that too. And then you need to do this and this and this and this and this. And if you'll stop doing that, that, and that, and do this, this, and this, then everything will be okay. And you've just lied your pants off. You're not the hope. You're not the joy. You're not the peace. And you're definitely not somebody's salvation. Be a witness of Jesus. To where it sounds like this. Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice of crying in the wilderness, trying to make straight the paths of the Lord. Oh, you need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. You need to give your life to Him. Well, you know, what's sin? Oh, just turn to Jesus. He'll tell you what it is. You know, His Holy Spirit will speak into your heart and let you know the things you shouldn't be doing and the things you should do. And His burden is light. Because see, He loves you and He came and died for you. And He wants to lift the burdens of your life off. He's not trying to put more burdens on you. See the difference? When you and I try to be their answer, we put burdens on them. When we let Jesus be their answer, He lifts burdens off of them. John, our forerunner, a testimony and witness, has taught us anything, it is that. And by the way, He must increase and we must decrease. When people start watching our lives and saying, oh, you're this and you're this, don't take His praise. You say, oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I'm following Jesus every step of the way. Making mistakes all over the place. Don't look too closely at me. I'm just following Jesus. He's the one. Put your confidence, put your life in Him. Give Him an opportunity in your life. And whew, well, you know what? I'm not even worthy to get down and unbuckle His sandals. But oh, how He's changed my life. You see, folks, this is the truth. Just like John the Baptist, you and I have a calling upon our life to be witnesses. And if you will, to certify that Jesus can change a life. Well, how do I know that he can help? Oh, let me tell you. Oh, what a mess my life was. And Jesus came and turned me and changed me. And you know what? It's not just past. My goodness, He helped me this morning. I got some things going on in my life and they're turning me and my mind upside down. And I went to the Lord Jesus and I sought His help over this. I don't know how, but His peace just came flowing in upon me. Whew. That's testifying. That's certifying. That Jesus is who He said He is. I don't need to go look for anybody else to tell me whether Jesus is real. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Why in the world did we ever stop singing that song? This is it. That's John the Baptist, and that's us. I don't believe that John was frustrated at all when he was in prison, when he realized that Jesus was who he said he was. His mission was finished. It was kind of like, okay, I can leave now. Isn't that what Simeon did when he held Jesus in his arms? The Lord had told him, you will see the salvation of Israel. And he held Jesus in his arms, just this little tiny baby. And he goes, I'm done. Whew, I'm finished. I can leave now because my purpose has been fulfilled. Oh, may that be our hearts, Christians. May that be our hearts. That our task on this earth will be done when we finish His witness. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you called a man by the name of John to be a forerunner of Jesus. And I thank you that you called men and women right here. Well, Lord, I'm especially thankful that you called one named Bill. It gave me a sense of purpose to go forth and proclaim that Jesus is the answer. I thank you this morning that there are so many in this sanctuary. There are some Johns. There are some Gregs. There are some Larrys. There are Marys and Lindas and Lisas. All who have heard the same call. Oh God, help us. This is our day. John had his day. This is our day. And all the evidence is pointing to the reality that you're coming back soon. Help us, O Lord, to be that voice, that John the Baptist voice, crying out in the wilderness of humanity, preparing the hearts of men and women to receive the coming Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to not get so wrapped up in our lives, in the stuff of this world that's going to fall away from us, that we forget that we are people on mission. We are your witnesses. We have a testimony of your salvation and transformation. Thank you. I'm going to ask this morning those of you that know that the Lord has called you out from among men to set you on mission. If you know that in your heart, that He found you, He revealed Himself to you, He has called you, I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Will you do me a favor? Would you look around you? Come on, just look around you. You're not alone in this task. What a privilege. What a privilege. I'm not trying to lay witnessing down on you or testifying down on you as another heavy burden for you to bear. I'm not going to say to you this morning, now you go out of here and you testify to six people or you do this or you do that. No, I'm not going to do that. It's not coming. I just want to thank the Lord that He called us just like He called John. I want to thank the Lord Jesus this morning, and maybe you would join with me in thanking the Lord Jesus that He found me out of the mix of all humanity, that He found me and revealed the truth that Jesus is the Savior of mankind. And I'm so thankful that He has taken my sin upon Himself and lifted that burden off of me, and that He has entrusted to me this word of testimony and this witness. I'm thankful this morning that He gives me this privilege to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, not just here, but anywhere that I am, anybody that will listen to me. I think it's cool that I get to be a witness of the Son of God who came and revealed Himself to me. And maybe that's your heart as well this morning. And I just urge you to join with me in thanking Him. Could you do that? Would you thank Him? Come on. Come on. Thank Him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for lifting the burden of sin off of me. Thank you for lifting the burden of the law off of me. Thank you for the freedom and the liberty that I have in walking before you. Thank you that you called me to lighten my load, not to make my load heavy. Thank you this morning that I get to be a witness and a testimony that you are who you said you were, because you have been all of those things to me. I thank you, Lord, that whatever I face tomorrow, that you love me and you care about me and you're going to help me with tomorrow. And I thank you that on the day that you appear in the eastern sky, that I'm going to recognize you. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe in that moment I can shout out one more time, there he is. Jesus, my Savior, my friend, the one who's lifting the burdens off of my life. I join right now, Lord, with this great company of believers and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming into our lives. May we just let your light shine among men. Help us, O Lord, because the enemy will try to make this a burden. He'll try to make it a heavy load. But I pray that we would just let your light shine so that others can know you as well. Maybe, just maybe, we would be the person who would shine the light of Jesus into a life and change their eternity. Oh, let it be so. Lord, I pray that heaven will be rich with individuals who are there because of the light of Jesus shining in my life. And now, Lord, I pray for those that are in this room today that are unsure of where they stand with you. They've never taken the burden of the sin and of their life and put it over onto you, so that they could walk in the freedom and the joy that you have promised. I pray for them today that this would be the day that they would lighten their load, that they would let you take the sin of their life.